cue for Friday in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Jesus, Lord of bread and for sin.
Welcome once again to Sovereign Grace Today with Owens. My name is Ken Sargent. Today we continue the current study on the attributes of God by focusing on yet another of the features of God's character. The source of our investigation is God's own special revelation of himself in Scripture, not personal conjecture or human opinion. Of course, the best way to discover the truth about someone's personality and character is to go directly to the source. And the Bible is primary source material for the study of God. It is not merely man's opinion about God. The Bible is God's own self-revelation, a self-portrait, if you will, of the only true and living God. Already we have discussed the great truths concerning God's eternity, holiness. Step further as he speaks on the power of God.
I want to use as my text today Revelation chapter 19, verse number 6. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunderings, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. That word omnipotent is a very important word. It speaks of the fact that God has all power. Stephen Charnock, the godly Christian author, wrote, The power of God is that ability and strength whereby he can bring to pass whatsoever he pleases. How vain would be the eternal counsels if power did not step in to execute them. Without power, his mercy would be but feeble pity, his promises an empty sound, his threatenings a mere scarecrow. God's power can neither be checked, restrained, nor frustrated by the creature. Indeed, from start to finish, essential attribute of God. In the 62nd Psalm, verse 11, the psalmist says, God hath spoken once, yea, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. Now, to say that power belongeth unto God means simply that power is essential to the nature of God. It is not an acquired virtue. It is not derived from any other source, but power is resident in God by the mere virtue of the fact that he is God. Just as holiness is essential to the nature of God, just as sovereignty and eternality and wisdom are true things about God. These are features or characteristics that are true about God. So power belongeth unto God. The Bible teaches us that the universe is maintained because God is a God of power. Hebrews 1:3 says, that God upholdeth all things by the word of his power. Now, simply his word, his divine fiat, his command, maintains the universe and keeps planets operating in motion. You see, if God were to withdraw his preserving influence in the world that he has created, then every atom would divide. Every molecule would come apart at the seams. The universe would disintegrate. The book of Job teaches us that in his hand is the soul of every living thing, the soul of all mankind, and the breath of every living thing. And if he were to withdraw his preserving influence, then all flesh would perish together. So God is upholding the universe by the word of his power. The Greeks once thought that the earth sat on the backs of two giant turtles or the shoulders of Hercules. When the astronauts went to the moon in 1968 and took the photograph of planet Earth, there it was, suspended upon nothing. But does that mean that it is at the mercy and the whim of every atmospheric phenomena and all of the potential threats of the solar system and the galaxy. No, my friends, God is upholding the world by the word of his power. The Bible teaches us that his name is El Shaddai. Genesis 17:1, he appeared to Abraham and said, I am Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. Now that is a new name for God in the pages of divine revelation. As we read the Bible, we see that God progressively reveals himself here a little and there a little until finally he speaks by his Son. That is, Jesus Christ is the ultimate expression of God. John 1:18 tells us that no man hath seen God at any time, but the only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Hebrews 1:2 says, God spoke in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, and he hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Obviously, the fullest expression, the complete manifestation of the character of God is the incarnation of Jesus Christ. Jesus manifested the Father's name unto the men which God gave him out of the world. That is, he divulged the divine character. But at the same time, in the Old Testament, we see God progressively unfolding his character and revealing himself. And one of the ways he did that is by giving new and different names for himself. You see, in each of the divine names for God in Scripture, we see a different facet and dimension of the divine being. And in this passage, he reveals a new name to Abraham. He says, I am Almighty God. That is the Hebrew word El Shaddai. And it means that God is the overpowerer. It is possible that the Aramaic word Shaddu, which means mountain, is the root of this word El Shaddai. Like the aesthetically intimidating side of a mountain, or like the physically intimidating power of a volcano as it erupts. So El Shaddai overpowers all. And God tells Abram, you're wondering if I am able to fulfill my promise to give you a son in your old age? He says, I am El Shaddai, the powerful God who is able. Now, in the very next chapter, Genesis 18:24, Sarah doubted God's ability. She laughed at the promise that she would have a son. And when the Lord confronted her, she denied it. She said, I didn't laugh. But the Lord said, yea, but thou didst laugh. But you see, the Lord is able to fulfill his promise. He asked Sarah this question, is anything too hard for the Lord? I love the passage in Romans 4, verse 19. When we read the New Testament version of Abraham's response to this promise, we read, being not weak in faith, Abraham considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Notice he is not looking at his circumstances. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. That verse teaches us that when we take God at his word and believe his promises, we glorify him. The opposite of that, of course, is that unbelief dishonors him. Abraham was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and listen to this, and being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Abraham was fully persuaded in the ability of his God. Nothing is too hard for him. Let me give you a sampling of scriptures that teach that great truth. I turn to the 32nd chapter of Jeremiah first. This is a passage that was written to God's people regarding their days in Babylonian captivity. And the question that would arise, no doubt, would be, can God restore the nation to the worship of God in Jerusalem? Can he bring them back from Babylon? And listen to this. Ah, Lord God, Jeremiah prays, Jeremiah 32, verse 17, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Verse 27, the Lord asks the question, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? You see, when we remember that God created the heavens and the earth by the mere utterance of His voice, He spoke and it was done. He just commanded and called galaxies into existence. This is the God that Psalm 8 says He made the stars by the work of His fingers. That is, it was no great expenditure of effort on God's part to create the starry heavens. It was by the work of His fingers. Now, a God who could do that, Jeremiah says, there is nothing too hard for Him. Listen to Job 42, verse number 2. Job has questioned the righteousness of God. He has wondered why that he is suffering and has demanded a hearing with God. But in the previous two chapters, the Lord has rushed Job off his feet by a series of rapid-fire staccato questions. Job, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Come on, speak up. He says, Job, can you bind the sweet influences of Pleiades or loose the bands of Orion? Job, do you know where the lightning dwells? Job, do you know where the thunder dwells? Job, where does the wind go whenever it leaves? And he asks him all of these questions. He asks him, Job, do you have an arm like God? Can you thunder with a voice like Him? By the time that the Lord is through pummeling him with right jab, left jab, one question after another, Job says in chapter 42, verse 2, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Yes, my friends, there's nothing too hard for the Lord. I don't know where this message finds you today. In the midst of some sticky problem, some insurmountable mountain, some formidable obstacle in your life, I want to remind you, my friends, that the Lord God is omnipotent. There's nothing too hard for Him. If He could speak and create galaxies, if He could make a barren woman at 90 years old give birth, if this God, my friends, could bring the children of Israel back from Babylon, or could do all of the things in the maintenance of the universe that He told Job that He did, if He upholds the worlds by the word of His power, then I dare say, can you not trust such a powerful God today? 2 Timothy 1:12, Paul says, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He is able to do all things unto Himself. Are you persuaded in the ability of your God? Jude 24 says, Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the coming of His glory with exceeding joy. Hebrews 7:25 says that He is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him. Philippians 3:21 says that God will change our vile bodies and fashion them like unto the glorious body of Jesus Christ according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. And Ephesians 3:20 says that He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Now, I want to encourage you today to ponder anew what the Almighty can do. The Holy God, who is sovereign and eternal and all-wise, is a God who has all power as well. Remember the three Hebrews in the fiery furnace? They said, Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us, but whether He will or not, we don't know, but He's able. Yes, my friends, when Daniel was in the lion's den, Darius woke up early that morning and said, O Daniel, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? And the voice came out of the den of lions, O king, live forever. The Lord has sent His angel and shut the mouth of the lions. Yes, our God is able. My friend, you can trust this powerful God to keep and sustain you all the way to the very end. I would encourage you to visit us this Lord's Day for public worship at Lexington Church. Our morning worship begins at 10:30, the evening service at 6:30. The announcer will give our address. Until next week at this same time, may the Lord bless and keep you.